Podcast Network Asia. Network Asia.
Welcome to Family is the Answer, an adoption and foster care podcast. I'm Karina Kuna Henson, Managing Director for Ruhe Foundation. Together with Podcast Network Asia, we're here to share resources to inform you and stories to inspire you about adoption and foster care. Hope you enjoy listening. Hi, everybody. I want to welcome you to another episode of Family is the Answer, the podcast. My name is Karina Henson, and I am the Managing Director for Ruhe Foundation here in Manila. Joining me today is my very good friend and the Director for Adoption and Foster Care Services, Samantha Keyboy.
Hi, so glad to be here. I think this is my second or third episode.
I know, you're becoming such a natural. Really glad that you have warmed up to the idea of guesting on the podcast, because I think we couldn't do this work without you, Sam. But the reason that we've invited Sam to join us for this episode is because we really wanted to talk a little bit about one of the more frequently asked questions that we get on like our social media, right? Mm. And I think even in our forums, we get asked a lot of questions about this particular topic pertaining to the different types of special cases. Is it safe to call it that?
Yeah, we categorize it as special cases. It's a little different from the regular domestic adoptions.
Right. So at least for us in the Philippines, you know, we'll go into how they're different. But there are different types of adoptions, and there's a slightly different process for some of the special cases that we'll be talking about. But we just thought we wanted to create a podcast which would serve as an information piece for you guys who want to get clear about what are those special cases, how do you navigate them, how can we as an organization support you in as you build your family through adoption or foster care. And no better person to answer some of those questions than Sam. So we are going to dive right into it. Maybe Sam, we could start with just walking us through what are the different types of, when we say special cases, meaning outside of the regular adoptions, right? Yeah. Or the traditional way of going about your adoption. What are the different types of special cases that are out there? And generally, how would it be different from what we call a regular adoption?
All right, so a regular adoption would be a couple or a single person. They would adopt another child who is not related to them.
Right.
And then for special adoption, one way or another, the adoptee is related to the person who will adopt or the couple that will adopt. So under that category will be relative adoption. So relative adoptions, a couple or a single person will adopt a child who is their relative. So within the fourth degree of consanguinity. And then next would be step-parent adoption. This is where, for example, you have a child, born with a different person, not the person that you are currently married to, and then your spouse would like to adopt that child. So that is step-parent adoption.
Okay.
And then there is adult adoption. So adult adoption means that the adopter, so usually it's a step-parent, like a step-parent adoption, but the adoptee will be 18 years old and above. So adult, we can do adult adoptions if the adoptee has been taken care of and is considered as a child of the adopter for 3 years, at least 3 years before the adoptee has turned 18.
Right. Okay. So you've got taken us through a few. I know there are a couple of other types of special cases, but I thought we can just dive into it a little bit more. And I'll ask you a few questions, Sam, that can kind of help us understand the technicalities around that. Because our social media team finds that almost daily questions about step-parent adoption, about relative adoption, which goes to show that really adoption is very much part of, I think, Filipino culture, right? But they want to take that step of legalizing that adoption or formalizing that adoption through the legal process. And the general question is, how? How do we do it? How do I go from, you know, I've been caring for this child for some time. They are related to me. You mentioned fourth degree of consanguinity. We fall within that category. How do I go about that?
All right. So before, let me talk about the new law about adoption. It's RA 11642. So it's making adoptions administrative. So it means that it does not need to go through our court system.
Right.
So with that new law, it was signed earlier this year, 2022.
Right.
It means that adoptions, the special cases, does not need to go to court. So it was like that before. You have to hire a lawyer to help you with your petition for adoption in court.
Yes.
But now with the new law, it's administrative. So you will have to file to the NACC, the National Authority for Child Care. So for you to begin that filing of petition, you will need to go to a child placement agency like us, Ray Foundation, or your local government unit, or your region's DSWD.
Okay.
So they can assist you with your documents, with your case study reports. The social worker will write that. When all your documents are completed, your case study report is done, the social worker or the child placement agency can assist you in filing the petition to their alternative child care office of your region. So that's the RACO,
right?
So it's under NACC. So you file your petition and then you need to publish your petition in a newspaper for 3 consecutive weeks. So
okay.
It's not 21 days, it's just one day
per week. Yeah.
And then the NACC will review your petition. They may call you, they may request for your appearance, they may have some questions, but once they review your petition and approve it, it's done. Once they give you the order of adoption, it's done. And then you can proceed to the local civil registrar where the child was born to begin the change of name and the birth certificate. And then after the local civil registrar, that will be brought to the PSA for the finalization of the birth certificate.
You're walking us through this process, Sam, and I'm actually finding that it's actually very similar to regular adoption. So the information for regular adoptions, you know, that's a bit more talked about, you know, there's more easily understood. But it's actually like you're just meeting them halfway. It's kind of like the first 50% of the process doesn't apply to some of these special cases.
Yes.
Right? Because in a sense, you don't really have to prove yourself as adoptive parents, especially for both relative and step-parent adoption or adult adoption where you've been caring for this child for 3 years or more. It's kind of like you don't need to go through that process and you go straight to filing the petition.
Yes. And in addition to that, one of the differences is you know the child that you will be adopting or you had a relationship with the child already. Compared to the regular domestic adoption wherein you will be matched with a child that is not related to you.
That's right. So maybe a few questions around what the technicalities are for each of these types, right? So when you say relative adoption, you say fourth degree of consanguinity, is there like, does the child need to be a certain age? Would the child have had been in your care for a certain amount of time before you can proceed? Are there any other kind of like limitations or things that people need to take note of when it comes to when's the right time to go through the legal adoption process?
There's no prescribed time according to the law and then the implementing rules and regulations. So as long as the social worker could see that you are the person to provide the alternative care to the child, there's no specific requirement of years that you have been taking care of the child.
Okay. How about for step-parent adoption? So, you know, I know one of the questions was like, for step-parent adoption, that would mean that the step-parent is legally married to the biological parent of the child they intend to adopt, right?
Yes.
So the question that we often get asked is, does the biological parent need to go through the adoption process with the adopting step-parent? Or is that something that the adopting step-parent goes through entirely on their own?
The process will be done by the step parent, but going through the entire process, it's a
the journey.
It's good that the
biological
parent will be there with the step parent of the child with the other process, like supporting, learning more about adoption, learning more about the implications, like just raising your knowledge base about adoption.
I think that's really nice that you brought that up because it is a journey, and the process of adopting for step-parents, sometimes, you know, they think, in fact, a lot of times, step-parent adoption isn't even seen as adoption.
Yeah.
But it's important to take note of that, that there is a legal process around step-parent adoption, because even though you are a step-parent, you are legally married to the biological parent, the relationship between the step-parent and the child also needs to form its own attachments, and the, you know, a level of trust also needs to be established between that step-parent who wants to become the legal real parent of this child. So it is very much just like an adoption.
Yeah.
So I think it's just good to note that, because sometimes that gets overlooked and we feel like, no, you know, they were not really orphaned.
Mm.
Or they did not actually lose ties to their biological relatives. It's just that they've gained a parent. But that in itself is really adoption. The heart of adoption still needs to carry over in that relationship. So I'm glad you brought that up, that it's good for both the biological parent and the adopting step-parent to journey alongside each other to support the child.
Yeah.
How about the other type of adoption that I just wanted to touch on, is adult adoption.
Mm-hmm.
Super excited. A couple podcast episodes ago, I think I shared, we got the best news ever when one of our adoption coaches was able to finalize the legal adoption of her adult son. We were just so happy. It was such a huge milestone. But we celebrate that so much because it really isn't very common. And typically when a child becomes an adult, even if they've been in your care, the tendency is we think, you know, we don't really need to legalize this anymore. They're already adults. They probably don't need to be legally adopted. Can you walk us through adult adoption? What's the benefits of actually adopting? Why is it necessary, even if they're no longer minors?
It's necessary to do one is because of legality. So you have been taking care of this child, now an adult. So basically, you're the parent of this person.
Yeah.
And all that connection, all those years, you're basically a parent. So you want to legalize it and take care of legal papers, birth certificates, passports, any legal paper that will help you ease the connection between you. Like, there won't be any problems in the future with regards to succession, with regards to inheritance, or even travel.
So, yes.
Or even like if you are in another country and you want to petition your child, it won't be as difficult as you not having that legal connection as parent and child. So that's one of the many advantages of doing it legally, of making it formal.
Yeah. The relationship is formalized. It's established in a way that the government understands, that, you know, society deems acceptable. Because a lot of times the relationship is there, right? And that's important. The trust and attachment might be there. But if it's not recognized by society, it's not recognized by the government, there's still a lot of things you can come up against, and it's still advisable that you go through the legal process when it comes to adopting.
Do you feel lost, doubting yourself, and tired? You question your worth and existence? Well, I'm here for you. Hey, this is Gailey Chavez, and I'm the host of Free Yourself Podcast. My podcast talks about self-love, self-discovery, and growth. This is for everyone who wants to live their fullest life and become the person that they could be. Let me help out and remind you that this is your life, your path, that you are not broken, and you are worth it. Catch me every Friday at 8 p.m. See ya!
The other thing I wanted to ask you, Sam, is about another type of special case.
Mm-hmm.
Not talked about as often, but still happening very commonly in our society today.
Mm-hmm.
And probably deserves its whole episode just for this, right? But for around independent placements, or what we call IP cases or direct placements, can you walk us through that? What's the process? Because that, for us at Ruby Foundation as an agency, that would still fall under a special case for us. Maybe you can just help us understand the technicalities around that.
All right, so you're correct. You know that it deserves its own episode because it gets kind of complicated to go through the process. But basically, independent patient cases or direct placement is the biological family of a child places the child with your family, outside the guidance of the government.
Right.
So you just do it between yourselves, not involving another third party.
An agency
agency or the government or the local government.
Right.
And the child is placed with you and you want to legalize the adoption of the child. So the child is with you first. So it's unlike the regular domestic adoption where you undergo the process and then the child will be placed with you. But here, the child is in your custody first. So according to our law, we can process those cases. So okay. Those children who are placed before the signing of the law,
just January of 2022,
you can approach us and we can help you figure out how to manage that case.
Yeah. We will do a whole episode on this because I think there's so much to discuss when it comes to this topic. And it's a sensitive topic because there are different views around this. But we know that many families who have had a child placed with them independently are very well-meaning and have done so to abide by the legal process, meaning they didn't go out and simulate birth certificates or government records and things like that in order to adopt the child. There is the desire to do it legally. And we highly, highly, highly encourage that. Unfortunately, there's some technicalities around this that we can't get around. It's a lot more straightforward if the child was placed with the family prior to January of 2022. If the child was placed or received after that, there's a little bit more uncertainty around the outcome of that adoption. And so this also serves as just a word of caution that if you do intend to adopt, we highly encourage you to go through the regular adoption process. If your desire is to adopt a child that is not a relative or a stepchild, then our encouragement to you to ease the process, to provide more security around it, would be to undergo the regular adoption process, which we can also help you with. However, if the child's already in your care, we understand. We'd be happy to provide advice. I think there's a lot of things that are case to case. We would need to advise you depending on the nature of the circumstances surrounding that placement. But if it was done prior to January of 2022, it's a little bit more straightforward. So I hope we're able to help you with that. And I hope that sheds a little bit of light. But Sam, I know going back, there are benefits to legalizing the adoption. There are legal benefits and there are kind of like social benefits. Maybe you could just walk us through it because I do find that in Filipino culture, we really do take in children
informally.
And I think we're trying to change that and help people understand there's value in legalizing and formalizing that. Maybe you can walk us through some of the legal benefits and as well as the social benefits of going through the trouble of filing a petition with the NACC for this adoption.
Yeah, so that's correct. So we have noticed that in Filipino culture, and I think it's a beautiful thing that families readily accept children who are not theirs biologically.
Right.
To raise those children up and then to take care of these children because their biological parents are in it. So it's paalaga.
Yes.
That's one term that
we hear a lot.
Yeah, that I've encountered. So it's good that we do that, but we also, there are advantages in legalization. Like we go through all these processes, but it will be worth it. Because if you intend to raise that child as your own, legalizing their paperwork, like I know that child is your child, but it's important to make that written down in our government documents. So with the legalization, with the process, you gain a birth certificate wherein the child's surname follows your name. So there's no doubt that you're the parent of the child. So for example, you take the child out of the country, there won't be any special permits that will be needed. And then in terms of succession, so when the child is legally adopted, there is no difference in the eyes of the law between your biologically born children, your illegitimate children, your illegitimate children. There is no difference with the adopted child, the child that you have.
Right. Yeah, I was reading I mentioned this again on the previous episode, the formalization, the order of adoption of that family that I mentioned who did an adult adoption. I thought just the power of the words, it said that this child is now a legitimate child and legal heir of mother's name and then the father's name. And I just thought, wow, that's the power of it, right? It's to really help formalize that through legitimacy and turning the child really into a legal heir. So yeah, I think that's like the legal side of it. But what about the social benefits?
All right, so social benefits. So let's talk about minors. For example, they're studying.
Mm-hmm.
Some children in school might ask, why do you have a different surname from your mother, from your guardian? So adopting them removes that. Like, there's no doubt in their mind and others' mind. That child is your child 100%.
Right.
And then there's this, some adoptees' mind growing up, if they are not adopted yet, there's this thing that's hanging over their head about their surname. They're not sure about their identity. Am I the son of this person who's not taking care of me? Or I, the daughter of this person that has taken care of me since I was very young, but I have a different surname.
Right.
So it creates a cloud over their head that there's this dissonance.
Right.
So legally adopting the child will remove that. It's 100% sure that they are your child.
Right. So I think it just provides so much security, right? Mm. And stability for the child to know that in every way they are indeed your child. And I think the benefits of that, for me, even sometimes outweigh the legal benefits of it, right? Because just for the child to know that and to feel fully loved and accepted, I think is so powerful. And that's the beauty of adoption. So maybe just before we say goodbye, you could help us get really practical. Where do they start? Now, someone could be listening today and they're thinking, okay, I fall under one of those categories, you know, and they might even have the other type of special case, which we didn't mention, but could fall under a type of case we could support, are those withdrawn from court. It basically picks up at the same place. Am I right? Petition.
Yeah, petition.
If you've had to withdraw your case from court because of the Establishment of Republic Act 11642, then you would pick up at generally the same place. You're starting now by filing the petition for adoption with the NACC here in the Philippines. So if that's where they are at, relative, step-parent, withdrawn, adult adoption, or indirect placement prior to January of 2022, if they're one in those five categories and they're saying, okay, let's do it, let's file a petition, what's that process? How do they start?
All right. So one, it depends where you are located in the Philippines. So here in the NCR, we, Rohe Foundation, we are licensed to guide you throughout your process of adopting. And if you are in another region, you could go to other child placement agencies or the regional DSWD or local RACO. And then you could also contact your local government, the social workers of your local government. So you could inquire how to start from there. But with us, with Rohe Foundation, first step is you could go to our pre-adoption forum.
Yes.
And then you could learn all about adoption there. And then...
which is a requirement.
Yes, also a requirement. The certificate of attendance, that's a requirement. And then also after that, we will orient you in detail about the process. And then afterwards, we will guide you through your collection of the documents, the documentary requirements. And then we will interview you, do home visits, write the report, and guide you through the petition.
Great. Yeah, and I think... it's a little bit more straightforward if you are from the National Capital Region and would like to engage our support. You'd be working directly with Sam and she would be guiding you through that process. Unfortunately, for now, we can't take cases outside of NCR. We're working on that and expanding the reach of our license, the nearby regions. But we can direct you to some of the others. And the question that I get asked a lot is, so do I just call DSWD? Like, who do I look for? I think you can go, you can ask for the RACO is probably the term that would best be understood. If you were to just call your regional DSWD office, if, you know, region 4A and or whatever that might be, you can call them and say, could I get help from the RACO? I would like to process an adoption. They would be able to assist you. And then, like Sam said, your local government offices, it's calling your city hall. And saying, could you connect me to your social service offices? And I'd like to inquire about adoption. Because I know that that can be really confusing and intimidating. And sometimes is the reason why people don't pick up the phone and call or go because they just don't know where to go. So I hope that helps. If you need support from other regions, there are a couple of other child placement agencies. I think the other three can all take Region 4A, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
So Kaisa Hanggoy Foundation, better known as KBF, NORFIL Foundation, and Operation Compassion all operate in Region 4A. I think one of them also is in Region 3.
Yeah.
I think it's Operation Compassion. It's also Region 3. So, you know, these are agencies and sometimes it might be easier to call an agency. So happy for you to contact them. I'm sure they'd be more than happy to help you. But in the meantime, if you have any additional questions or you would like more information, you can reach out to us by emailing us at rohefoundation@rohe.com or going to our website, rohefoundation.org, and any of the contact forms there lead to our email and we'll be able to sift through your inquiries and your questions there. We promise to get back to you with some answers or connect you to somebody that can help answer them. So yeah, anything else? Any encouragement for families that are on the fence about, should we do this? Is it worth the effort and the trouble? Or should we just leave it and let it be?
I'd say just do it. It's for your child. It's for the security, the overall security of the identity of the child. So it's not just the legal documents are secondary. It's for the well-being and the identity of the child that you wish to adopt. So we might see from the discussion earlier in the process, it might seem complicated, but just take the first step and you'll be riding the waves and it will be done before you know it.
Yeah, and if you're lucky, Sam will be able to handle your case, and I couldn't think of anyone better to walk you through the process. So looking forward to hearing from you. I hope this was helpful. Again, this is just information on the special cases that exist outside of regular adoptions, domestic adoptions here in the Philippines. That's it for today. My name is Krina, and we'd be happy to connect with you online. But that's it. This is our Families to Answer podcast coming to you from Manila. We will catch you at our next episode. Bye for now.
That was the Family is the Answer podcast by Rohe Foundation and powered by Podcast Network Asia. If you're interested to know more about adoption and foster care, visit our website at rohefoundation.org, where you can find articles, videos, and other resources. You can also find us on social media. We're Rohe Foundation on Instagram and Facebook. Again, thanks for listening, and I hope to catch you at our next episode. The views and opinions expressed by the podcast creators, hosts, and guests do not necessarily reflect the official policy and position of Podcast Network Asia, the hosts of the program, or other programs of the network. Any content provided by the people on the podcast are of their own opinion and are not intended to malign any religion, ethnic group, club, organization, company, individual, or anyone or anything.